When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Yoink.
Black and goldies, it's your bye week. We're gonna party like it's your bye week. We're gonna sip an iron like it's your bye week. And baby,
we do not care
about the brownies.
Well, you can tell by the way we're 3-3 that the standard's not what it used to be. The poker's loud, Kabasa's won. We've been kicked around like Boswell's bones. Now it's alright, it's okay, cause we got Hayward and TJ. It ain't hard to understand. You run with Nash to throw with Ben. Everybody certainly plays off for certain, but we gotta buy, we gotta buy. Offensive line is shaky and bears won't play from breaking, but we gotta buy, we gotta buy. Yoy, we gotta buy, we gotta buy. Yoy, we gotta buy.
I'm not gonna worry about your level of concern.
Yoy and double yoy.
We talking about Twitter.
Triple yoy.
Think of how stupid the average person is, and then realize half of them are stupider than that.
Quadruple yoy.
All right, it's what Jin's talking about. The conversation about the Steelers social media conversation. I am your host, Kyle Kreis, here every week with not even a sidekick. It's more than that. This is a duo. It's Greg Benavent.
Hello. I'm glad to be referred to as a sidekick, part of a duo, any of it.
Not, you know, when you think sidekick, I think like Robin, but this is not Robin. This is like, you know, this is like a Michael Keaton Batman up there with the George Clooney Batman.
I certainly appreciate it. I thought of both of us as George Clooney, but yes.
Okay. Okay. Well, yeah, I feel more of a Val Kilmer Batman myself. All right. Well, you know, if this is your first time listening, we are the podcast that looks at Steelers Twitter, Steelers social media conversation, and, you know, highlights and lambasts all the hottest and worst takes, all the hyperbole, all the speculation, and just, you know, all the dummies. I've been listening to your feedback. You know, when you reach out to us, we do pay attention.
Certainly,
I see some of the comments. You know, like what's with all the sound effects? It's annoying. Okay, you know, I hear you. But you know, just like Coach T says,
we do not care.
So, and oh, what's with the, you know, oh, there's a stutterer on the mic. Yeah, I might be a stutterer somewhat. We, you know, Greg might have a respiratory condition, all right? If you want, you know, if you want.
It's asthma.
If you want Walter Cronkite, then there's a million podcasts out there for you. In fact, I think another Behind the Steel Curtain podcast just dropped. So, Plenty of conversations for you if we're not your bag of tea. Is tea come in a bag? I guess
tea is one of the few things that does come in a bag, actually.
All right. Well, let's get to the tweets. All right. It's, you know, we got to start the conversation with Ben. It's you mm-hmm. know, it's the victory tour. It's the farewell address. So let's start with at the Steelers in at.
Mm.
Probably shouldn't count. But I believe because the offense ran at least one play, Ben will get credit for his 48th career game-winning drive, breaking the tie for fourth of all time with Dan Marino. So another notch in Ben's belt, even though it wasn't fourth quarter heroics necessarily.
Absolutely. I do believe this should count as a game-winning drive because, again, I don't have in front of me the other, 47 to 48 career-winning drives that Dan Marino had. So who's to say all of them were going 90 yards into Florida Sun against the defense with a minute to go?
Yeah, and even, you know, I don't know. I don't want to get on the bash Ben bandwagon, but mm-hmm. he did have a couple drives in the fourth to really seal it with a you know, Ben being Ben fourth quarter victory. But instead, mm-hmm. we had to go to overtime.
Yes,
you know. So should this his out of 48 career game winning drives? Is this the 48th greatest?
I think it very well could be, if only because what Brian St. Pierre got credit for that one when Ben didn't start. Ben's rookie year. But it's I think what is to keep in mind, though, about your 48th best career game-winning drive is it's still a game-winning drive.
Still ended with a win, even if...
everything hurts.
So, but that, let's get to the Ben bashing, of course. It's okay. At Tommy Jaggy, my Twitter nemesis. Yep, there are big issues here. It starts with Ben Roethlisberger and his inability to put up strong offensive performances against bad defenses. How strong of a performance do we need? Do we just need to win the games, or do we need strong victories?
I mean, as an overly emotional person myself, I would love a strong victory, a game that's over in the second quarter, but... alas, winning by a lot of points does not help you, like, climb the polls in the AFC North. So,
yeah, are we trying to get on the power rankings here, or are we just trying to get into the playoffs? Let's move on to at John Mancuser Jr.
Mm.
Ben Roethlisberger looking like he's throwing a medicine ball every time he drops back. Does he have a point there? Or
I mean, I think his larger point, as I read it, is Ben Roethlisberger is 39 years old. That's what I got out of it. Ben does not look like he did when he was 22. Sure, I think it's a kind of funny line. I think it's a bit of an exaggeration. But yeah, there are moments where Ben drops back, and you're like, be okay.
Yeah, please don't get hurt. Mm-hmm. We saw, hey, you know, I think his deep throws were only 1 for 5 on mm-hmm. 20 yards plus, which we're not expecting to see those anyway. If you're a Steeler fan at this point in the season, or in this point in the last two seasons, you shouldn't be banking on the deep throws. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he was 1 for 5 on deep throws, and the one was money to DJ there. So
that's a good one, yes.
You know, so he might be throwing a medicine ball one out of every few times, but he's still got the Nerf zip.
Mm-hmm.
How about this? At Mic'd Up Sports 1, Ben still dealing with that significant hip bruise. Sources close to the situation say the bruising is all the way from his hip to his kneecap. That sounds painful.
That sounds painful. I mean, that also sounds like the kind of thing that you'd think would happen, like, every time someone is hit in the side by a National League outside linebacker. But, yeah, that's a very close source if they were able to see Ben, like, having taken off his pants to see, like, how he looks. That is, so I trust this report quite a bit.
If you saw Ben's hip bruising, you
right.
might be a team source.
You're right.
But let's look at Ben's protection stats, though. Mm-hmm. Only one sack in mm-hmm. the game, and allegedly no hits in the Seattle. And then he had one sack and only one hit against Denver. Mm-hmm. So I think that might be the best Ben stat line of them all.
Absolutely. I mean, those are teams that, despite injuries, really do have great pass rushers. I mean, obviously, the offensive line, you'd hope they would run a little bit better. But there might be something in, and hopefully something that develops as we sit here going into the bye week, about the idea about, like, hey, hopefully these teams are doing more to try and stop the run, which hopefully frees things up for Ben a bit.
Got to keep – I mean, we're only going up against coming up Myles Garrett, the Bears.
Whatever's left of Jadeon Clowney, or however you say it.
Yeah,
The Bears.
The Bears are the best pass rush, I think, right now.
Super
so,
Khalil Mack.
Will Ben make it to December? We got to unleash hell in December. Will Ben make it to December, I think, is the question. Let's move on to play calling, because if the story isn't Ben and what Ben is and isn't doing, it's the offensive play calling. Let's go with... at S-City Nation 412, Steel City Nation, when you have 8 or 9 in the box all night with the safety playing up and you still throw the ball, not try to run into that box, you throw and you throw downfield, not dump offs. What the guy's saying is, why are we running so much?
I assume we're running because, you know, someone somewhere along the way saw the stats about, like, hey, if Ben throws the ball 50 times or whatever it is, the Steelers' record is not great. I mean, obviously, yes, there you would like to see them adapt to every single play, every single defensive look, and, you know, try to find the most advantageous way to deal with this particular defense. But as I age, I find there is something to be said for, like, hey, this is what we practiced. This is what we do. We're going to do it. Try and stop it. And it can be frustrating when that doesn't work, but quite rewarding when it does.
We said on the beginning of the season, why aren't they running it enough? Right. Why aren't they? We spent a first-round pick on a running back. Why aren't we running the ball? Mm-hmm. Now, when we start running the ball, it's like, oh, we're running the ball with 8 guys in the box. Yeah, well, that's what they're giving us, and we still got to run it. Let's look at the next tweet from at free... based Tic Tac. The sideline bombs on third down never work. Yet Matt, this is his, yet Matt Cuckold, I don't call him that, insists on calling them like clockwork. Third down deep. Well, here's our third down stats this past game. We were 5 for 12. And like I said before, the deep ball stats were 1 for 5. What's going on third down?
Well, one, I can't believe it took till this week of the season for someone to actually refer to him as Matt Cuckold. I mean, that seems like something the Troglodytes would have figured out like by the fourth game of the preseason. I will say, and again, you know, as someone that reacts emotionally to these things and reads these tweets as other people being unable to control their own emotions, there is something far more frustrating about seeing a pass 20 yards downfield on 3rd and 6 fall to the ground than seeing, you know, an out for 7 yards get dropped or get knocked out of someone's hands. So when you see that, it's hard not to think of the reward of, oh, what that could have been, and then emotionally lash out while trying to think of literally the most elementary school insult you could.
Well, plus, I mean, imagine you're in Ben, you got to put yourself in Ben's shoes. Mm-hmm. If you see the one-on-one on your star, you know, we keep seeing Claypool is going to be the next Calvin Johnson.
Hopefully.
If you see one-on-one on him, and we know that we're going to be a more effective offense if we can get chunk plays than if we're going to try to get 15 play drives for 4 or 5 times a game. If we can just do it once to the end zone, I don't know. If I'm Ben, don't you want to take that shot?
Absolutely. And also, I mean, the fact is Ben has been doing this professionally now for 17, 18 years. So he certainly knows that that's what's worked before. This is what he knows to do. You throw it deep, you get those chunk plays. That's how you win a lot. It makes all the sense in the world that if he sees that matchup, he's going to keep going to it. And truthfully, you don't want him to quash that instinct, because by the time he does, that's when he misses the one that's open or the throw he could have gotten in there.
Right. You know,
seven's your guy.
Seven's your guy is what is the point here. You know, it's we live and die by number 7. Let's go to at BT Jones. Throw the ball on first down, please. Oh, that's a different request. Here, these were our first down stats. Now, in the first half, we ran it 8 times and we passed it 9 times on first down. Pretty even, right?
Yeah.
Now, in the second half, we ran it 11 times on first and only threw it four times. That's a commitment to the run there. Is that too much run on first down?
I mean, this is the first tweet I've read in a long time that's like, please come back, Randy Fechner. it's that same thing of, I read this guy's tweet, it reads to me as the same one as the guy we talked about before this is, but when you see it's just, again, you're reacting emotionally to seeing Najee run into, you know, a pile of 11 dudes and get 2 yards because he only managed to break tackles of 5 of them. Like, that is very frustrating, and that's where you start spouting things like this, not realizing, like, oh, this is the tangible, real price of keeping the defense honest.
And even though everyone was having a heart attack based on the scoreboard, mm-hmm. I think we're looking at, this might be a domination stat here. We're running it 11 times for 61 yards in the second half on first down. A commitment to the run, mm-hmm. even in the fourth, still running it mm-hmm. On first down. In a tight game that maybe we shouldn't have been as tight, but we were playing it with, we're playing to win. You know, we yes. weren't playing not to lose there.
Well, what I was going to say, just very quickly to interject on that same point, I rarely watch these things, but I encourage everyone to watch the Cam's mic'd up video. It's lovely because you get to see him cheering and yelling, and then there's a great moment where you see the highlights of the Seattle score their 2 touchdowns, and Cam sit on the bench and go, damn, we made this a lot harder than it needed to be. And it's so funny because I'm like, oh, now I feel connected to the team. I was thinking the exact same thing.
You got to keep it interesting. No one wants to tune out at halftime. Oh,
I would like to tune out at halftime for a 4th touchdown lead. Yes.
All right. Well, hey, let's go. How about let's find things to nitpick about even in the good. We've got Ed Bouchette here. Though Matt Canada rightfully received kudos for the 2nd touchdown. Which was the Ebron touchdown.
Ebron touchdown.
It said everything about their lack of confidence in the run.
I hate to criticize anything from Ed Bouchette. The guy's a legend on merit. He's the absolute. I mean, to for an entire generation of fans, the Steelers are the voice of Ed Bouchette. But I mean, as much I hate saying this, but I struggle with that in the same way that Roethlisberger talked to about Josh Dobbs about how can your hand go forward and backwards. How does it show a lack of confidence in the run when we're handing off to the tight end?
In what, you know, everyone said, oh, where's this Matt Canada, you know, great, you know, great offense, all the trickery and all the motion. And then when we see
it's all in the red zone.
Yeah. And then when it happens, we're going to find something to criticize a bit. I don't like this take. In fact,
I hated it.
So
I didn't realize we had that clip. That's great.
Let's give the final word on the offense here to at Neil Coulong. You know, I had skepticism about the Steelers offense this season, and there's plenty of reasons to have issues, but the job that Matt Canada, Adrian Clem, and Alfredo Roberts have done after this brutal start is commendable. Are we trending upward?
Absolutely. I mean, it's. I was skeptical after, you know, and said, you saw they got better during the Green Bay game, and look, they got better during Denver, and it, you know, and there is something to be said for, hey, maybe they took a little bit of step back towards Seattle, but I would argue it was maybe just a half step backward. And I also think it's interesting is that, you know, and I'm sure we're going to touch on the idea about like, a lot of people thought the Steelers were going to be 3-3 and they ended up that way. Maybe that's not maybe that's not necessarily the way we saw it happening. However, how many people did you say, the offense is going to struggle a little bit in the beginning of the season? They're going to struggle a little bit in the beginning of the season. And then the offense struggled in the beginning of the season. We were like, wow, the world is ending. So this absolutely makes all the sense in the world, as Mr. Coulong talking about how what they've done since the brutal start is commendable. It's not a finished product by any means, but as long as it continues trending upward and at best taking half steps back, it is real progress.
Are we, I hate to say it, you know, we're on a 2-game win streak. Are we playing our best football, or can we still play better?
Well, I'll amend that to say if this is the team's best football, then this isn't going to be too great. I mean, they have to keep getting better from here, I would hope.
Okay. All right. Well, there's individuals, I think, but
certainly,
you know, I wouldn't be surprised if, at least with Ben and the offensive play calling, this is going to be this is what we're going to see more, more the same, at least in strategy. May hopefully not in.
But I think also if the offensive line plays better, more consistently, then this all is going to look a lot better. Excuse me, that is one of those breath things again.
Exactly. Well, hey, there's a lot to talk about. Let's take this break. We've got to talk. We got to get to the defense. So much mm-hmm. defense to talk about. Mm-hmm. You know, between Cam and TJ and just the rest of the defense. Some people aren't that happy with the D. Plus, we got to get into maybe some special teams and. Tomlin talk. Is Tomlin gonna leave? That's in there too. So much to get to. So stick with it. We got to get to commercial. It's probably gonna be some commercial for another podcast. That's always good. Interesting. Like, if you're sick of what Ian's talking about, go listen to this other podcast.
What if your drive is longer than you thought?
Yeah. Maybe we should advertise on someone else's podcast. I don't know. Maybe Mike Beck. What's your going rate right now? All right, hold on. We'll be back.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
All right. It's the second half of... What Jin's talking about? We played our best half at the first half. Now right. We're coming back after halftime, and
made our adjustments. Hopefully,
well, maybe we'll make those adjustments sometime before the 2 minute warning. And all right, let's talk defense. Lot to say about the D, including our defensive player of the year. Mm-hmm. It's at Stats by Stats. Tonight, TJ Watt of the Steelers became the first NFL player to have two sacks and a forced fumble in overtime. Let's keep the TJ love going. Mm-hmm. At Alex Kazora, Steelers with 20 forced fumbles in team history. Three players: Greg Lloyd, James Harrison, and TJ Watt.
Wow. And each of those guys had what, a decade more experience on Watt. Yeah. They got to it.
This is the TJ Watt we expect. I hate to say it, we expect it every yes. week. Mm-hmm. We have to have a game-changing performance every week. Is this this is obviously his best of the year, or just the best, second best of the year?
that's the argument you're left with, is how excellent he is. Was this performance where he set a new NFL record that no one else had ever done before? Was this the best of his year? And you have to be like, well, I don't know exactly. It's hard to say. The thing that struck me when I thought about it a little bit later is the Steelers are 3-1 in games that TJ plays, and 3-0 in games in which he plays healthy. So it's kind of hard. Or games he finishes, I guess. If you want to, I forget exactly when he went out in the Raiders game. I want to say it was late in the first half, but it could have been early in the third. Regardless, that's the reason I could never be truly down on this team. They could be terrible. They could everything else, but they could also win every game because of players like this. They're going to, they'll have a chance no matter what.
Is this the, I think it could, we may have seen the passing of the torch literally in this game. Ben went from the guy who won games for you in the fourth, and now maybe it's TJ who wins games for you in the fourth. Can you rely on a defensive player to be your game-winning performer there at the end?
I don't know if you necessarily can. I think that becomes a little more plausible to me when you had, three, four guys blocking TJ on that the play where he forces the fumble. But it was interesting just because when you said the idea of Ben passing the torch, and what I immediately thought of was not TJ, but that truly incredible run by Najee where he catches the ball and gets enough yards to make the Boswell field goal in regulation, plausible.
Oh,
and that's what I thought of a passing of the torch. Ben literally passing this ball 4 or 5 yards, and Najee going through two guys.
Very key play, underrated play. That's right. That might have been. You might consider that a game-winning play in some senses.
Exactly. If they'd been able to stop or not, whatever happened with the refs at the end, which thankfully we don't have any tweets about. But yes, and that I think if we don't get to overtime, I think that's what we're talking about in terms of passing the torch.
All right. Well, let's, don't forget about the other guy on the end there. Mm-hmm. Let's go to at Trey Day 79, Trey Essex back. Cam was the best player on the field tonight, and it wasn't particularly close.
I mean, I'm not sure when, you know, Mr. Essex tweeted that. I mean, you could have tweeted that in the fourth quarter and maybe been right. It's a little harder to maybe tweet that at the end of the game. But what a lovely debate to have. Who was the best player in the field tonight? Was it Cam or was it TJ? Perhaps we'll never know.
We've seen Cam, at least Collinsworth was bringing it up all game, mm-hmm. basically holding the lineman with one hand and then making the tackle with the other. Yes. So, I mean, you know, I don't even know if we've seen Mean Joe himself do things like that on
right.
the field.
And certainly not against like other guys that were really committed to working out too, like not guys that were smoking cigarettes like after the game, that kind of thing.
Well, let's keep the case for Cam going. Mm-hmm. We've got at Subburger. Cam Hayward now tied with Joey Porter for fifth all-time
wow.
sack leader. Quietly going up the ranks there. I mean, Joey Porter is, fifth all-time there.
Right. And also, again, I mean, it's not like, you know, the team specifically has Cam to rush the passer. If that happens, that's great. But it's not what he's really, like, his main focus of what he's doing every time. I mean, it gets back to what you said about the one arm thing. It shows about how just dominant he is. It's like, in the course of doing his job, oh, I would also like to sack the quarterback.
How about PFF, my favorite stat, at least this week?
Sure.
At PFF, the highest graded defenders this season, number two, Aaron Donald.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, Cam Hayward.
It is always lovely. And again, I have little use for PFF except in moments like this. I love when there is something great about, like, you can always use the Steelers for social media engagement. You can either troll the Steelers fans or troll people that don't like the Steelers with something like this. And that's what makes that awesome, too. I mean, has Cam probably been among the highest graded defenders? Absolutely. I mean, I don't mean to cast a version. He very well could be your highest graded defender of the season on merit. I don't mean to just goof on that because it's PFF.
Well, I mean, could you put him in the defensive player of the year conversation? I know it's only October.
See, I always wonder if, I mean, and obviously Cam gets an amazing amount of tackles and sacks, but I always feel like defensive player of the year has to be one of those things that, like, if you've never watched a football, if you watch like two football games this season and then just your hometown team, you can look at the stats of a guy and be like, oh, that's defensive player of the year, which you could always do with Aaron Donald. He can always do with TJ. I don't know about a defensive lineman that plays the way Cam does. He's going to have that stat line, but hey, he might. Who knows? I mean, he's having such a great year. It's entirely possible.
I mean, he's not on the Masked Singer yet. He's not that he's not that much of a household name.
I think they're going to notice when Cam Hayward is on the Masked Singer, regardless of the backs. The man is like 6 foot, 300 some pounds. Yes.
Well, all right. So if you were watching the game, you heard Chris Collinsworth call Cam, no question, Hall of Famer. Mm. And that had some of the trolls coming out. We've got Ron Cook over at the PPG. Is Cam really a no question Hall of Famer? I'm not ready to put him in the hall yet. Also, at John Clayton NFL, who was an ESPNer, is Cam Hayward a Hall of Famer? No. When Stephon Tuart is healthy, he's better. Hayward a Hall of Famer? Please.
Well, Clayton was a guy way back when, was at the Pittsburgh Press, right? When it went down. He was a longtime Pittsburgh, covered the Steelers, if I remember correctly. But, I mean, I always grew up with the idea about if you're going to get into the Hall of Fame and you haven't won a Super Bowl, it's incredibly difficult to do. And I think, here's the thing. I think if Cam does win a Super Bowl, I think it's very hard to keep him out of the Hall. I think if he doesn't, then we get to have these debates for a long time.
You know, before this season, I was wondering if Cam was even a Hall of Honor.
Mm.
If he qualified, you know, I think this season, it's no question.
Yeah, and I think there's also something to be said. I would have thought that Cam was always going to get into the Hall of Honor just because beyond his excellent play, he was always the one that was seen, whether in the media or others, like, he's maintaining the Steeler way. You know,
yeah.
He carries the old ways with him, you know, that kind of thing.
So you think it's going to take a ring to get him a yellow jacket?
I think, because, I mean, I just think it's going to be tough. And again, the thing about the Steelers saturation in the Hall of Fame is real. I mean, that with the voters outside of this, it does, like, okay, you're a Steeler. Okay, you have to do something truly exemplary to get in now. Like,
well, there's not a lot of love for the rest of the defense. let's move on to at Chris Mueller, PGH. I've seen better peewee football players, 9 and 10-year-old peewee football players, tackle better than the Steelers secondary.
A couple things here. I mean, yeah, the tackling was poor, and it could have been better. And secondly, that particular tweet from Chris Mueller was, he was quoting caller Eric, and then tweeting out the words of Caller Eric. And if you find yourself tweeting the words of Caller Eric, perhaps this didn't need to be tweeted. But yeah, I the tackling was frustrating. It was bad. I mean, at this point, I'll come back to someone I think we've criticized in the past who I am a big fan of. It's Mark Cabali, who I believe in one of his observations was like, yeah, the Steelers tackling was bad, but every year, even in the best years, there's always like one game where the tackling really falls apart and it's inexplicable and strange. And I remember that like back to the 90s.
Oh, yeah.
So hopefully this was the one game where, for whatever reason, nobody's hands worked and that turns around.
WD-40 game.
Right. I think Josh Cribbs is still running somewhere. Yeah.
Although, you know, we should give credit. There was some good tackle. Trey Norwood, I think.
Oh, absolutely.
A good game on the tackle.
I love Trey Norwood, yes.
And then that might be it.
Yeah, exactly. The seventh-round pick fighting for the job. Yes, absolutely. He had the big tackling going.
Mm-hmm. What about everyone's favorite troll, at Mark Madden X? I can't call that an elite defense anymore. I'm through pretending that it is. I mean, was anyone calling this an elite defense? Here's our ranks. We're 12th in scoring. We're 13th. Against the rush, and we're 20th against the pass. That seems middle of the pack.
That seems utterly middle of the pack. I think it was an elite defense up until like the second quarter of the Raiders game. I mean, I think it was elite against Buffalo. I think when guys started getting hurt, its elite potential, you know, kind of dropped a bit. But again, this entire debate comes back to, how do you define elite? Which is, you know, the angels dancing on a pin of football nerds.
How elite do you have to be if you're getting 5 sacks a game?
It seems like we're falling back into that, you know, and hopefully I'm wrong about this, but a few years back where the Steelers had like 50 sacks, but like 10 turnovers. Remember how bizarre that was? Like the ball just kept bouncing away from them. And frankly, you saw a fair amount of that in this game too,
yeah.
Or else this entire conversation is maybe vastly different.
We may not get that 50 sack. Mm-hmm. This might be an off year on sacks,
correct.
But that doesn't mean that our defense isn't our strength, at least.
Or a strength, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, let's go one more thing on D. Mm-hmm. Let's get to @by Josh Carney. Mm-hmm. There's not a single thing Robert Spillane does better than Devin Bush, full stop. Why are we seeing Robert Spillane out there instead of Devin Bush and Schobert?
I wondered that same thing myself. I mean, what I kind of thought, and I didn't hear anyone back this up, and maybe I'm wrong, I don't know, but I can see getting frustrated with, okay, you know, guys the Seahawks have walking in off the street, ripping off like 15-yard runs in the third quarter, and being like, all right, Geno Smith is out there. I'm going to roll the dice with this one guy who knows how to do one thing, and that's tackle the runner. I can see that, but I it's very hard for me to make that mental leap to like, okay, this is worth taking Devin Bush off of the field.
Now, I hate to be one who speculates, but I'll throw this out there. We've been seeing Spillane in the dime package with where the rest of the front is usually number 8, okay. Number 56, mm-hmm. and number 90 out there. So that means Spillane is like the fourth guy in that area. Now, you know, because he can run vertical north and south and meet the guy at the line of scrimmage, is he kind of, you know, in case... a QB contain situation or, a check down on third down where you got to stop him before the sticks. Is that why he might be your best situation in there?
I would assume, just because I would note in every situation you referenced there, it didn't require Spillane covering a person for much long at all, if indeed he does. So that's where I'm like, sure, that makes sense. Yeah, if he has to either A, not cover somebody, or B, do it for like a second or the point where he reaches out or something.
Because, I mean, you know, what we're not seeing from Devin Bush, we've seen a couple sacks, but we're not seeing, not that he ever was, the run stopper of Vinnie Williams, of a Lawrence Timmons, you know, mm-hmm. It's just he's not that role.
Well, what I'm hoping, you know, and I know there has been some pushback to, hey, Devin Bush hasn't been, you know, the superstar we hope for at this point. And there's also an argument for, hey, he's returning from an injury. He's only played but so many games. What I like to think is, if nothing else, and I don't know if this is the case, it's just by simple virtue of having Bush out there over Spillane, that makes you just the other team just a little bit more reticent to throw the ball over the center of the field, to the tight end, throw to the wide receiver in the middle there. It just by having that rangy guy makes them at least reconsider that play call, if not avoid it entirely.
And it doesn't matter. It doesn't have to look pretty, right? Right, coach?
You're not worried about style points.
Tell him. All right, let's move. Let's talk special teams. We never talk special teams.
Uh-huh.
Here's the tweet from Jay Hartman Pitt right here at BTSC. Big Press is the Steelers' MVP so far. This is first half tweet. Now, I think maybe first half MVP, maybe?
Yeah, I mean, Big Press was pretty good. I know he had the rough punt in the second half there, but he also had a great punt in overtime.
Besides the punt that was pretty atrocious, I think they were all within the 20. I mean, there might have been one that went into the end zone, but I think they were all down within the 20. Good game from him. And let's go to at DVE Randy, Randy Botman. This is the best Boz moment in Pittsburgh since Boz Skaz played a free show for 40,000 people, and there was an all-night traffic jam. Was this Boswell's biggest moment?
I mean, having made so many kicks in the playoffs, it really can't be. But the biggest Boswell moment in a while, sure, absolutely. I mean, it's this conversation is entirely different if he misses any of those kicks, very few of which were like from 25 yards.
That's right. We've had the bigger kick might have been the one to get 20 points.
Right, the regulation one was huge. Yeah.
What the biggest Boz moments I can think of, there was AFC playoff win 2015.
Yeah.
Cincy, a playoff win against the Bengals, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's the Vontaze Perfect goes nuts game, yes.
Oh, the Joey Porter won us the game. That's
right. That
was
the Joey Porter, yes.
And then in 2017 is the year he went to the Pro Bowl, and he had game winners that year. I think it was maybe 3 out of 4 weeks, like Cincy, Baltimore, Green Bay. So, you know, it's hard to find the greatest.
Right, exactly. That's another difficult thing to find. I mean, you could do a whole separate podcast about what is the best Boswell kick. I mean, it's preposterous.
And just for the record, highest field goal percentage since 2019. Number one, Chris Boswell, 93.7%. That's a number you don't see in sports.
It is astonishing. I mean, just looking at, you have it printed up here, it's actually higher than Justin Tucker, who very well could be and probably is the greatest kicker ever. So that it really says a lot. And again, I mean, I know they're in the same division, but folks, the weather is rougher in Pittsburgh than it is in Baltimore.
Yeah. And the fans are All right. Let's move on. Let's go to, man, there's so much going on. We're already at we're over a half hour. So let's just do a speed round of some miscellaneous things.
Sure.
How about at Mic'd Up Sports 1, Ray Ray McLeod out snapping James Washington 52-8. It's bonkers.
I mean, it is surprising to me. I always think, you know, my mother refers to her dog sometimes as Ray Ray, and it's hard for me not to look at Ray Ray McLeod as like that same size as, you know, a Basset Hound and just going to be hit and broken into pieces. I mean, it surprised me, and it didn't seem to necessarily work in a way that I could ascertain. I mean, I would certainly rather have James Washington out there more often, but not everyone does the same job. They thought Ray Ray could do this for a reason, and maybe eventually they'll be validated with that.
I think the official reasons we got, because I assumed, Washington wasn't 100%.
That's
obviously
what I assumed, too, yeah.
But, you know, the answer we got from Tomlin and then from Ike Hilliard was it had to do with matchups, and because Ray Ray has been backing up Juju all year, they felt more comfortable with him in the slot. Does any of you buy in any of that?
I mean, yeah, I absolutely buy all that, because I know that they take very seriously the idea about these, you know, we think of, oh, it's wide receivers, they're interchangeable. Well, they don't. I mean, they really do see these as highly specialized, unique positions, because they are. They require different skill sets and different training. So, yeah, when you put it that way, it does make more sense that, you know, Ray Ray would back up Juju. But as soon as I say that, the one thing I can think of is, you know, Juju catches a 4-yard pass on 3rd and 5, and 2 dudes are hanging on him, and he carries them for the first down. Whereas, you know, if Ray Ray tried that, he'd get evaporated.
Are we going to see James Washington more, or is this kind of are we seeing what his role is, and it's not really that much of a contributor?
I hope we see James Washington more. I mean, for me, James Washington is frozen in time, catching that deep touchdown pass from Doc against the Browns, where he was like lying down at the end of it. But I hope we see him more. It seems like he has a lot more to offer for a team that, you know, even at this date, is still offensively challenged in many aspects.
We can't verify that that's true, but it certainly sounds right.
Okay, thanks. Thanks, Tucker. All right, let's go to, let's talk, you know, let's talk post-game press conference at Big Rashad. This has got to be a top five, maybe a top three moment in Mike Tomlin press conference history. If you missed it, let's hear it.
I hated it. I hated it. That's all I'm gonna say. It was an embarrassment.
Ooh, was that, you know, we're talking about the refs at the, we're talking about the, you know, the game. It didn't really, I don't know if it really changed, would have changed the outcome in a certain way, but Tomlin was pretty fired up about it.
They all were. And the more you look at it, the more weird things you can see about it, from, you know, the refs essentially letting them place the ball before everyone's set, to Russell Wilson inexplicably running on the field, to, I mean, there's so much bizarre that, I mean, again, for a franchise of fans that essentially live only to complain about the referees, it is always something that this seems to favor Seattle. But regardless, that to me said just how serious this moment was for someone like Tomlin, who is so well-spoken, so intelligent, and so knows what the right thing to say to get through this moment is, and he simply refuses to do it. That said to me just how egregious all of this must have been.
So do you feel that is a top five Tomlin moment there?
Well, I mean, it's a top five moment for me in terms of, like, being a fan that loves the team and feels that same level of, like, you know, emotional anger over the way that went at the end. I'm not sure it's a top five moment that, like, Tomlin would choose from a press conference in terms of how he'd like to be perceived or present himself and the team.
Oh, I mean, you know, I don't know how you'd want to frame it.
You can frame it however the hell you want to frame it.
Okay, all right, coach, fine. But how about this? How about at Steel City Star? Mm-hmm. Curious to know who most people think the third best QB in Steelers history is. And the poll went with 41% Cordell, 39% Neil, 17% Bobby Lane, 5% Bubby Brister. Who's our third greatest QB?
I'm with these people. I could go back and forth between Cordell and Neil. I mean, in terms of pure talent, it's hard for me not to think Cordell. I mean, as people that know football far, far better than me would point out at the time, when Cordell was surrounded by talent, he was very good. And when he was surrounded by less talent, less so. But, I mean, now as I get older and you see what the league is, can you imagine what Cordell would have been in this NFL? The one where you can run free and dudes are always open and all this time and all this. I mean, it's, you know, you could see the old clips of him running 80 yards in Baltimore or something like that in an entirely different era. But Cordell today would have been way, way better than he was back in the day. I'm quite confident of that.
You know, he definitely would have been more of a Lamar Jackson type. Mm-hmm. But yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, but, you know, there is a little.
I think Cordell has a better arm. I think at his best, I think he did.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I mean, you know, who can forget the Hail Mary
right,
in Colorado?
Right.
But, you know, he was not necessarily a system quarterback.
Right.
You know, he very much liked the backyard ball, and mm-hmm. which, you know, I'm all for, too. But, I don't know. Sometimes I think there's a little revisionist history with Cordell. Mm-hmm. I think maybe O'Donnell might have been maybe the better pure quarterback.
Oh, for sure. And both of them look great when Yancey Thigpen was there.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on to at Shannon W4550, our own Shannon White here. Mm-hmm. This is talking about Aaron Rodgers going off on the Bears. Imagine Ben behaving like Aaron Rodgers against the Bears, or screaming at his O-line like Tom Brady, or even, I'll even throw in Baker, where Baker Mayfield said, "I get to say whether I play or not, and that's just how it is." Does this show us, when we see how other quarterbacks in the league act, does this show us maybe that Ben is really a bigger leader than we give him credit to be?
Oh, yeah. And at least is professional enough to never let these moments occur. I mean, what's interesting is about these childish, immature moments that you've all presented, with the exception of the Baker one, because he doesn't have the reputation of the other two men, obviously, is often given to us in the frame of, well, that shows just how much he cares and how intense he is and how much it means to him. It's like, no, he lost control of his emotions and took it out on his coworkers or those that expect better of him. That's what it actually is, that Ben has that kind of control and reserve is only a virtue and asset.
And a leader.
Right. Yes, that's what I meant. Virtue and asset are synonyms for that, but sure.
Yeah. Okay, one more quick thing.
Please.
At Colin Dunlap.
Oh, boy.
Got to get him in there. Doug Whaley just said on our show that he could see Mike Tomlin leaving for LSU or USC. I think also someone said this week that they could see the Raiders making a play for Tomlin. Why are people so quick to usher him out of Pittsburgh?
Well, I mean, it's one because it gives you something to talk about. It's always going to get the attention. The Steeler fans are a huge media market out there. I mean, the Raiders thing is just that, you know, these are people that want to see the Raiders be good. So we're going to throw that out there and talk about it. I mean, for me, what's always been the subtext of whenever Tomlin is connected to a college team, which again, of course, he hasn't coached in a million years, is that we all have seen those clips of Tomlin being so into, you know, educating and being compassionate towards college players coming to the league. I mean, that wonderful clip of him with Justin Fields, what was it, Ohio State's workout day. That's where I feel so much of this comes from. You see Tomlin with college kids, you're like, oh, in this brief snippet, this is an absolute perfect fit. This guy'd be a tremendous college coach. But man, you know, I don't really follow college football, but in the last week, didn't Joe Burrow's college coach who won the national championship a year when Joe Burrow was there just get fired? Like, Tomlin's not leaving where that kind of foolishness can occur. Like,
is this head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers the best job in all of football?
If not professional sports, it's certainly the one that's like the most stable and the most tenured. I mean, it's you'll notice they always throw out that phrase. I mean, perhaps it's more with hockey and baseball, but about how, you know, you're hired to be fired. This isn't that job.
I look at some of the big programs, even like Ohio State, and, you know, in an off year where for an Ohio State off year is they're not the national champion.
Right, they're like 9-3 or something.
Yeah. I see the boosters already, you know, they have their comments and they have their agendas. Mm-hmm. And I just can't see someone with Tomlin's kind of, he's a professional. And so they have to deal with the extra drama.
Oh, man.
And that includes other NFL teams. You know, we're going way long. Let's get to the final word. We'll just we'll get two quick things here. Mm-hmm. First off, at Sam Chachir, simply Gold Jacket City Steelers. That was in reaction to all the Hall of Fame. So it was alumni weekend. All the Hall of Famers were back. And you saw, you know, not just, you saw rows of yellow jackets.
There are high schools that don't really have an alumni weekend versus like a professional football team that had. And it's not like it's alumni weekend like, hey, here's this dude in like 1996 that went to the Pro Bowl. Like, no, it's an entire alumni of Hall of Famers. That it's until you see that and until you see what it's like in other cities, you don't realize how rare that is.
Yeah, you don't know what you're missing. And let's give the final word here to at Men of Steel CJR. Despite the roller coaster of a season, once again, the Steelers find themselves in control of their own destiny and currently the seventh seed in the AFC. Playoffs?
I mean, the two things. One, I know this person must be someone I could get along with because they also capitalized all of control of their own destiny, just as I did in notebooks when I was 11 years old. But I'm struck by the fact, despite this roller coaster of a season, once again, it's been six games. If this is a roller coaster, we're barely halfway up the first hill. What roller coaster is that?
I don't want to go
waiting
back
in
down.
Line. Yeah, what? It you're by the thing that says you're tall enough to get on the roller coaster. The roller coaster's just getting started.
Oh, you mean it's going to be even more heartache and more high blood pressure going forward?
Oh, the one thing what I've learned conclusively is that bad takes do not take a bye week.
And with that, we should probably wrap it up there. I'm Kyle Kreiss. You can follow me on Twitter at Kyle Kreiss. Greg, where are you on the internet?
I am at Greg Benevent on Twitter and Instagram. That's G-R-E-G, B as in boy, E-N-E, V as in Victor, E-N-T.
All right, and until next week when we're ready to take on some AFC North football. Until then, be the standard or just chill.
Just chill.
That wasn't too bad.
No, that was fun.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.